You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is a Diamond District bonus hour on this glorious day in which the NCAA tournament begins in full. We are down to 64. And we have 16 games today and 16 tomorrow. Soak it up. 12:15 today, Michigan State, Mississippi State. Let's get this party started. By the way, for the record, we were talking about Purdue, and we wondered when's the last time they had gotten beyond the Final Four, because we know Joe Barry Carroll's team in 1980 got to the Final Four, lost to UCLA, I believe, in the Final Four. The 69 team played for the title. So the 69 team, is that the legendary Rick Mount? But the 69 Purdue team, okay, and Edie, I think, just passed Rick Mount to become Purdue's all-time leading scorer. So Purdue made it to the final in 69, but they've never won it. But the 80s is the last time they went to the Final Four. 69 is the last time they played for the title 55 years ago. You know, there's a few things going on, Mark. Your Spartans, 2000, last Big Ten champion, right?
Yes.
Hasn't been a team West, you know, Rockies West that's won it since Arizona in 97. You know, you get west of Kansas, you know, who's won a title west
no,
of Kansas?
No, I mean, obviously San Diego State played for it. The Zags played for it.
The last Pac-12 team to win was Arizona in 97.
There you go.
So that's even worse than the Big Ten. They got an even drier drought.
You know,
and if they don't get one this year, it will be the last one ever for the Pac-12.
That's a good point. Arizona.
I mean, now's, you know, who will win a title first, Arizona in the Big 12 or UCLA in the Big 10?
These jokes will never get old.
They don't. And watching Moulton shake his head in disgust when I do it is the best part.
Well, this is my favorite part. You just told an anecdote last segment in which you talked about you've got a bunch of people you play golf with. Many of them are Big Ten people. You got a group of Illinois guys. You got a group of Michigan guys that you play golf with. And you said your Michigan guys are like SEC fans. They root for the Big Ten all the time.
All the time.
You even said your Michigan guys, the only time they root against Ohio State is when they play Michigan. That they want Ohio State 11-0 every year, and then
beat them. The Wolverines. Right.
So here's what I'm wondering: since it's been nearly a quarter century since the Big Ten has won the NCAA tournament, are those guys, your Illinois, your Michigan guys, are they in a couple years when UCLA is playing for the title? Are they going to be like, well, here it is, chance to snap the skid?
I hope not, but I have the feeling that they will.
When Dana Altman's got Oregon back in a Final Four, you go, ah, here we go. We're in the Final Four.
This is so ugly. I mean, when you really think about it.
I know. So, all right. So just a few things going on here. Hey, for that matter, please, in Lexington, they're like, we haven't won in 12 years. I mean, at Kentucky, it's like the Yankees. Talk to a Yankee fan. You know, we haven't won the World Series in 15 years. In fact, we haven't even been to the World Series in 15 years. All right, this is a crisis. So I hope John Cal made some fans yesterday. John Cal was like, yeah, expanding the tournament is the dumbest idea in the world.
Good for him.
John Cal's like, please. Now, Izzo, we're kind of going through his comments there because he's quoted as saying that mid-majors shouldn't necessarily be guaranteed an automatic berth if they win their conference tournament. And needless to say, there's backlash from that. I'm just laughing because one of his good friends is Greg Campy, the head coach of Oakland, and he plays him damn near every year. I can't wait for Campy the next time he sees him to go, what the hell are you talking about? I shouldn't get in the tournament when I win.
He's been there for 40 years, Greg Campy.
I know. Got that job when he was 29, I think. It's remarkable.
If they expand the tournament more than four teams, it would be a disaster.
I think so.
I think expanding it four teams is bad enough to 68. To 72 is unnecessary. And you would think just how bad the two play-in games were of the 10 seeds or 11 seeds or whatever the hell they were. You would think that that would squash some of the momentum to expanding this thing. But since the coaches and commissioners are the ones doing it, they just see more money, more opportunities for them to make bonuses, and it will not go away.
The other thing that I don't understand is how are they going to make more money? I mean, this TV deal runs for another 12 years, I think. I mean, the NCAA tournament TV deal with CBS and Turner, I think, runs to the mid-2030s. I mean, I can't imagine CBS, which is as corporately owned now as they've ever been, and Turner, which is as corporately owned now as they've ever been. I mean, the games that they're wanting to add, those are not money-making games. The big ratings come at the back end of the tournament. The excitement may come early, but the ratings come second weekend, third weekend. So, you know, you're going to add, you know, go to what's the number, 96 or whatever. If I'm CBS and Turner, which is Paramount and, you know, whoever, I'm like, yeah, no offense. We got a contract here. We ain't giving you any more money. These games don't interest us. This isn't like the college football thing. We're going to expand it. And ESPN's going, oh, wow. These are games that are going to attract 15 to 25 million people.
Mm-hmm. And there's a track record. I mean, even though we've never had this college football playoff, you can look at when big boys play and what the television numbers are for football and say, oh my goodness, we'll increase that. You can look at an Orange Bowl game and you can look at these playoff games, seeing what they're doing. Then you can at least be able to forward that to the college football playoff and guesstimate at what these numbers are. But going from 64, 68 to 96, the games you're putting in are NIT games.
Right. So I hope that CBS and Turner helps squash it as well. I mean, listen, Greg Sankey's done a lot of good things for college sports. He really has. I mean, he saved the 2020 college football season. And it's paid big dividends for the sport by saving it, too. But this is a bad idea. There's enough greed in college athletics as it is. We don't need to go any further. You're ruining football in a lot of people's eyes. You don't need to touch any other sport. Just stick with the one. That's where the money comes from anyway. All right. Here's the deal. If we do a consensus bracket, since apparently Trent and I...
Yeah, why don't we just turn one of your two brackets in and call it a day?
Well, okay. Just take it easy. Also, you have to admit, you never have gone as chalk as you just went. I mean, you literally have the top 16 seeds in the Sweet 16.
Yes, I do.
Mark, I've known you 25 years. You've never done that before.
I haven't.
So I think a compromise needs to be reached here. And it probably, since Trent and I think are more in agreement than you are with either one of us, I'm thinking if we do a consensus bracket, we need to give you like UN Security Council veto power on a couple of picks in which you're one of the five members of the UN and you go, absolutely not. We are not passing this resolution. I don't care.
Now, I'm fine with the consensus and we'll live with it.
All right. First off, how far do you have the Gators going?
I have them winning one game, losing to Marquette.
And I believe Trent and I both have them going to the Sweet 16, correct?
I've got Elite Eight.
Wait, hold on a second. You have them beating Kentucky?
Yes. I do.
Wow.
And honestly, if they weren't playing Houston, I would probably I considered Final Four. I really did.
Wow. Somebody.
I love the Gators. I love their bigs. I love how athletic they are. I think they're slept on in an SEC that, you know, has Alabama and has Auburn.
I do think the SEC doesn't get the credit in basketball that it deserves. I think that's a fair statement.
Because the Big 12 is so good and everyone loves the Big East.
Well, and also there's SEC fatigue in – if you're a college sports fan, you're sick of the SEC. Not just in football. They dominate in baseball and softball also. I mean, seriously, if you're a college sports fan, you're tired of the SEC. You're like, oh, for goodness sakes, really? You're good in everything? Everything? Now you start to take basketball seriously? What the heck? We liked it when only Kentucky took it seriously. Now, what are you doing? Hey, how many of you – FAU Northwestern. How many are you picking FAU?
I picked FAU. It's the only eight that I took.
I got Northwestern.
I have Northwestern.
Boo Booey, fifth-year senior. He's a 20-points-a-game guy. They beat Purdue at home this season. Northwestern is rock solid.
Well, and obviously, FAU's A-game. I mean, everybody's back from a Final Four team. They beat Arizona. I mean, but come on, you got to admit. I mean, FAU has been FGCU inconsistent this year.
Yeah, I mean, that Arizona win is the only reason they got in, David. We talked about how much of a joke it was they're on the 8 line, not the 9.
Or the 10 or 11, for that matter.
Right.
I mean, they should have been the last 4 in a lot of people's opinions.
I agree. I thought they were headed to Dayton after they lost in the semis of the...
I actually thought they might be playing Michigan State in Dayton. I really thought that was a possibility.
So
now I've got a bunch. See, I've got like two 11s winning.
But you don't have them winning a second game.
No, I have New Mexico beating Clemson.
I have, do as well.
I have North Carolina State beating Texas Tech.
I do not. I think NC State went on one of those runs. And a lot of times when you go on those crazy 4-4, 5-5 runs, you lose. But okay. So, all right, we'll go through a little bit of a consensus bracket in the next segment. We'll do it quickly. It doesn't take long. We don't need to have Trent's 37 pages of crunching the numbers. But, Trent, if you see something that you like in amongst your research paper and you want to throw it in, feel free to throw it in. Miller and Malt, thanks for listening. All right, we got 10 minutes. We'll do it very quickly. Mark, I'll give you one or two UN Security Council veto powers, all right, because you're Mr. Chalk, and Trent and I went off the, you know, reservation a little bit.
All right.
So,
we all have UConn winning.
Right. Trent, it's got to be a really good nugget from your research paper. Really good. All right?
Yep.
Otherwise... we just do this. We'll start in the east. It's east opposite west, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Our consensus, UConn, obviously. So we have Northwestern 2 out of 3 over FAU.
Yep, you do.
Yep. Once again, Mark already for his second consensus pick. He's against us. We all have Auburn beating Yale. I'm assuming we have San Diego State over UAB.
Yes.
And then we have... UConn, Auburn in the Sweet 16.
Yes.
Right? Trent and I have Auburn winning.
So I can do nothing about that. Auburn's going to beat UConn.
Okay. Now, this is, you know, once again, I gave you one or two UN Security Council.
I'll take my one. I'm not going to use it with UConn. I think this is a tough matchup.
Okay. So we have Auburn through to the Elite Eight. Now, in the bottom half of the draw, BYU Duquesne. We all love BYU. Illinois Morehead State, we all love Illinois. Illinois BYU in the second round, 3-6. Who do we like?
Illinois.
BYU.
BYU.
Good gracious, you guys are morons. Go ahead, put your BYU in there. I've got to save it for Purdue Creighton. I know where I'm saving my veto for.
Okay, it's fine. We all have Drake beating Washington State, correct?
I have Washington State.
You're outvoted there.
That's okay.
That's the one we win.
We're going with former FGCU assistant Marty Richter. We're going with the Bulldogs. They blew it last year against Miami. They don't blow it this year. All right. We all have Iowa State over South Dakota State. Iowa State, Drake. We have Iowa State.
Iowa State.
Yep.
Okay. BYU, Iowa State, Mark.
I have Illinois beating Iowa State, so I'm out. Jerry, I'm out.
Okay. Iowa State.
And Trent and I both have Iowa State. So in a, for the record, Mark has UConn, Illinois in the Elite Eight. All right, and yet our consensus bracket has Auburn against Iowa State.
I got nothing. Right. I've got nothing over here.
Right.
I'm outvoted.
So we have Auburn coming out of the East. Mark, how do you feel about that?
Morons.
All right. We have Carolina beating. Are they Wagner or Grambling? Who are they playing?
We have Grambling.
Okay. Mississippi State, Michigan State.
Playing Wagner. North Carolina's playing Wagner.
Yes, correct. All my right. bad. Michigan State. Go Green.
Yeah, I'm taking Michigan State.
I am as well, actually. I know you two are rooting for them, but I took them. In the bottom half, St. Mary's Grand Canyon.
I have Grand Canyon.
Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Ha!
So then we're
take
going
that, Moulton.
This hurts me.
I know it does.
I have St. Mary's going all the way to the Elite Eight. So, all right, Alabama, Charleston.
Bama.
All right, I went with Bama as well. So, Carolina, Michigan State.
UNC.
And then Grand Canyon, Bama.
Bama.
All right, Carolina, Bama on their side.
Carolina.
Okay, good, because I've got St. Mary's. All right, bottom half of the West, Clemson, New Mexico.
New Mexico,
Lobos.
Yeah, all three of us going with New Mexico, so they're done. Put a fork in them. We're all going with Baylor over Colgate.
That's correct.
Dayton, Nevada.
I have Dayton.
I have Nevada, so we're going with Nevada. Arizona, Long Beach State, we're going with Arizona, right?
Right.
Okay. New Mexico, Baylor?
Baylor.
I went with Baylor as well. And then Arizona, Nevada, as it turns out.
Zona.
Arizona.
All right. So Baylor, Arizona?
Zona.
Baylor.
Arizona. So,
dang it.
Okay.
That's my final four team, Baylor.
So Trent's outvoted there. So we have a West final between the top two seeds, Carolina, Arizona.
I have Carolina.
I would like Arizona in that matchup.
Okay, and I went with Arizona.
All right.
By the way, Caleb Love, Arizona's best transfer. He transferred from North Carolina, so that would be pretty cool.
Yes, it would. All right. So now South and Midwest are paired against one another. Houston, Longwood. We like Houston, obviously. Nebraska, A&M, an 8-9 game.
A&M.
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
First tournament win.
Not happening.
Sorry, Mark.
That's fine.
Wisconsin, James Madison.
I got Wisconsin.
And James Madison it is. Duke, Vermont.
Duke.
Okay. Houston, Nebraska.
Houston.
James Madison, Duke.
Duke.
James Madison for me, so it'll be Duke. Okay, Houston against Duke.
I have Duke.
I would take Houston.
I took Houston. Okay, so we got Houston in the Elite Eight. Meanwhile, in the other half, Texas Tech, NC State.
NC State.
Wolfpack.
Wow, I got to live with that. I took Texas Tech. Kentucky, Oakland.
Kentucky.
Kentucky. Florida, Colorado.
The Gators.
Yep, unanimous there. Marquette, Western Kentucky.
Marquette.
I'll take Marquette, but I like where David's going.
I took Western Kentucky, but we have to go with Marquette. All right. NC State, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Florida, Marquette.
Marquette.
Florida. Come on, David.
I had Florida in the Sweet 16.
There he goes.
Let's go.
Okay, so Kentucky, Florida.
Kentucky.
Florida.
Kentucky. So we have a Houston, Kentucky, South Region Final. We're going with?
Kentucky.
Oh, my goodness. I went with Houston, so we're going with Kentucky. All right. So we have Auburn out of the East, a 4, Arizona out of the West, a 2, and Kentucky out of the South, who, by the way, would have to beat Houston and Dallas, for the record, a 3. To the Midwest we go. I know Trent's taking Grambling against Purdue, but Mark and I are going to push Purdue through, right?
Right.
Okay. And I know Trent's not taking Purdue, but he's just so down on them.
Thought about it.
Utah State, TCU.
I took TCU.
Utah State.
I took Utah State. All right. An 8 over a 9. Gonzaga, McNeese State.
McNeese.
Joe Dumars.
Look at that. We're
cursing these 12s.
McNeese State's going to lose by 23, yeah. Aren't mm-hmm. they? We just went unanimous on a 12 seed against a team that's made 8 consecutive Sweet 16s.
Right.
By the way, this is the 2-minute warning.
Kansas Samford?
Kansas.
Kansas. But I can see it happening, David. I can totally see it.
Okay, we go with Kansas. Purdue against Utah State?
Purdue.
McNeese State, Kansas?
Kansas.
McNeese.
Oh, come
on.
Yep. Okay, other side of the draw, South Carolina, Oregon?
South Carolina.
Gamecocks.
Okay, South Carolina it is. I went with Oregon. Creighton, Akron?
Creighton.
Texas, Colorado State?
Colorado State.
Yeah, unanimous there with the 10 seed. Okay, Tennessee, St. Peter's?
Tennessee.
Okay. South Carolina and Creighton?
Creighton.
And then Colorado State, Tennessee?
Tennessee.
I got the Rams.
Okay. So Purdue's against McNeese State in the Sweet 16?
Yes.
We're going Purdue. And then Creighton, Tennessee.
So you've got Tennessee then. Because we have Colorado State. He has Colorado State. I have Tennessee. So you're breaking that tie with Tennessee?
Yeah, I'm taking Creighton. Okay. Okay, so Purdue, Creighton, and the Elite Eight.
Creighton.
Purdue.
And I say Creighton. Mark's going UN Security Council veto power, and he's putting Purdue through to the Final Four. Mark, for the record, that means we have a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4.
Exactly. We're going to get at least one seed to the Final Four, for crying out loud.
All right. It'd be Auburn against Arizona?
Auburn.
Yeah, okay. All three of us have Auburn. Kentucky, Purdue?
Purdue.
Okay. Auburn, Purdue?
Purdue.
Auburn,
then, is our consensus champion.
Yes!
22 minutes before the hour, our final segment, and there's an internal debate. Will we finish before the Padres and Dodgers finish? Both the game and the show started within minutes of each other. And it's a 4-hour show. Mark, can you update the Padres and Dodgers in Seoul?
We're in the top of the ninth. 15-11 Padres. Machado just hit a 3-run blast in the top of the ninth. They're making a pitching change with a runner on first and 2 outs. So, David, there is no chance that this game will end before our show.
Oh, come on. There's still a chance. The next guy comes in, gets him out, and then got about 10 or so minutes to get the Dodgers out in the bottom of the ninth.
You got a 2.5, 3-minute commercial break in there. You got a pitching change and another commercial break. No way.
I will say, upon further review, and this is the most chalk bracket I've ever filled out, I have 3 10s winning, 2 11s, 2 12s, a 13, and a 15, and 2 12s in the Sweet 16. I will say this, though, Mark. This is the most chalk bracket I've ever filled out, and at least my bracket reflects what I've been saying for 6 weeks. We're going to have chaos the first week, and the big boys just steamroll in week two.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Not a lot today either, David. 1961, we start. The Beatles play the Cavern Club in Liverpool for the first time. And Art Modell buys the Browns for $3.925 million.
That seems like a good deal.
Alcatraz closed today in 1963. She Loves You by the Beatles goes number one today in 64. Martin Luther King Jr. begins his march from Selma to Montgomery today in 1965. Tonight in 1980, JR was shot.
Oh, my goodness. And then They went on break.
Right. The cliffhanger episode, the show Dallas.
This is all going way over my head.
I want you to ask your dad if he remembers JR getting Chuck. Because, I mean, I was 11 years old. It was, you have no idea, we had three networks basically, how big of a deal it was, how big that show was.
Yep. Trent, another note to make. Just look at your parents and say, who shot JR? And then just.
And only your dad, because your dad married younger. So your mom will have no clue. Your dad will.
And they were like, well, okay, I actually have heard of this. There were like three suspects, right? Or you didn't know who
did it. Well, they had everybody on the show shoot JR. So yes. Even the people inside the show didn't know who ultimately would be the one who shot JR.
Clever.
David, it just said today in 82, Jerry Pate wins a tournament and jumps in the water. Was that the Players? Where did he do that at?
I thought it was the Players.
I thought it was the Players. It had to be, right? This time of year. 84, the NFL passed its anti-celebrating rule.
So it became the no-fun league
today in
84.
Gretzky ties Howe at 8:01 today in 94. And the founder of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, sends out the first tweet today in 2006.
What was it, by the way? Something like, you know, the first phone call didn't, you know, Bell say, you know, something, come here, Mr. Watson, or something. Do we know what the first tweet was?
I do. I've got to pull it up. Just setting up my Twitter was the first tweet. With Twitter spelled T-W-T-T-R.
Huh. There's really no need to shorten it like that, but okay, you're the boss.
Eddie Money would have celebrated a birthday today. Tom Flores is 87. David's favorite actor, Matthew Broderick, 62.
He killed the guy.
Yes, he did. Rosie O'Donnell's also 62. And hockey player with a cannon for a slap shot, Ally Afraidy, is 58 years old today.
Ooh.
He had a cannon.
He sure did. Point on the power play. That was a handful.
He'd win the hardest shot competitions and then fire a lung dart up in the locker room. That's all I've got, David. What did I miss?
Well, on the same day that the Dallas cliffhanger aired, we shot JR at night, Mark, but during the day, President Carter announced that we were boycotting the Summer Olympics in Moscow. So remember, the Lake Placid Games had ended 4 weeks ago because we won the final day of the Olympics was February 24th. That's when we won the gold in hockey. So, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Timing.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
We go to Maryland for the good, where an Annapolis woman identified by her nickname, Cher, was cleaning out her purse and discovered she had a $50,000 Powerball prize buried in her purse.
I hope it hadn't expired.
It had not expired.
Great.
She had two tickets. One of them won $7. Another one won $50,000. She had no idea. One of those, she just went up to the took her tickets to the store, asked the clerk to scan them, and found out she won $50,000. For the bad, we go to Tennessee, where a fisherman in a northeast Tennessee lake caught a bit of a surprise when he pulled up a 3.5-foot alligator. They don't have alligators in Tennessee lakes.
No. Hey, dude, what are you doing here? That's me talking to the gator.
Finally, the ugly. We go to Salt Lake City, where Wycliffe Flurzard was arrested Sunday after boarding a Delta Airlines flight from Salt Lake City to Austin. He took a photo of another passenger's boarding pass and tried to use the boarding pass to board the flight. Got on the plane, opened the door to a storage space for emergency equipment. A flight attendant helped him get to the lavatory. He said he had to use the bathroom. Lied. Went to the front of the plane. Then he moved to a lavatory in the back of the plane. When he exited, he said his seat was 21F. But there was a ticketed passenger in 21F, and it turned out his name didn't pop up on the itinerary for the flight, and they confirmed that he was trying to be a stowaway on a flight, and he was arrested for felony charges. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, March the 21st, 2024.
Do you know there's 11 games in the NHL tonight? I know it's a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league and all, but I mean, come on now. Doesn't somebody look at the calendar and go, you know, this is the third Thursday of March. We're not going to get a lot of attention today. Both the Panthers and Lightning are in action. Tampa Bay still on the West Coast where they're crushing it. They're in San Jose where they should crush it. Look at this. On the road, they're minus 360.
Exactly.
But Panthers are home for Nashville.
Who's red hot.
Yeah. And the Panthers are now 3 points behind the Bruins. Okay. I understand that the Bruins have played, what's it, two more games than the Panthers? But, you know, don't want to get too many more points behind. I know the Panthers, in theory, if they win out, they're the one seed. But that doesn't happen in hockey. Speaking of the Bruins, they're hosting the Rangers tonight. That's an interesting game.
It is. Wings and Islanders, big game, huge game for both teams.
Huge. In Detroit, monster game. So that's the NHL. There is basketball tonight that's not college. There are seven games in the NBA. One of them in Orlando, the Red Hot Magic hosting Zion and the Pelicans.
I was going to say the Red Hot Pelicans and the Red Hot Magic. Pelicans are a 2.5-point favorite on the road against Orlando.
Magic, the number one team in the league against the spread. Not only the fifth best team in the East, but the number one team in the league against the spread. Interesting game. Knicks are shorthanded, but they've swept this West Coast road trip. And they wrap it up in Denver against the Nuggets.
Nuggets nearly a 10-point favorite in that game.
I know. And Denver's had some big games of late, though. They just had a Minnesota game. You know, it'd be interesting to see if Denver, they fully show up tonight.
Moulton could win his first bet of the day. There's one out in the bottom of the ninth, and this game very well may end before our show. It's going to be close. I need a base runner.
And for the record, the San Diego Padres, in nine innings, outscored the Virginia Cavaliers in a half.
And Indiana State is watching at home.
And they scored 102 last night in their NIT win. Their NIT game, I think, was like 102-91.
What a great FU for the Sycamores. You put that team in over us, the team that had 14 at the half. Let's go drop a hundo.
Listen, we've said it, though. There are many things you can criticize the committee about, but they gave UConn men a tough region. They gave the Iowa women the toughest region. And they didn't put Indiana State in the first four, which clearly would have been a much better ratings, attention, publicity thing than if they had put Virginia in. So they're not taking, you know, it's not like they're sitting down. You know, you think there's a conspiracy and this. They ain't taking ratings into effect here. They're trying to knock the UConn men, the Iowa women, and they didn't invite Indiana State.
They screwed up with Virginia. Sorry.
Yeah.
And they got burnt because Virginia played incredibly poorly. And it made those that think there's a conspiracy theory seem like they're right, when in fact David's right. There's no conspiracy theory. They do their job. There was five bids stolen in the last 2 days of the season, and
Max Muncy just struck out. Game's over. Sorry, didn't mean to.
No, they beat it out. Nearly 4 hours in Korea.
Little 3:45 finale to a two-game series.
Now we go to March 28th, 1 week from today, when we actually have the opening night of the baseball season. And, of course, they're going to do it across from the fifth night of March Madness. Why do it on Monday when you have the night to yourself?
True. I will say a lot of baseball during the day, and the tournament a week from tonight doesn't start until
7 o'clock.
7:30.
Right.
Right. So you know, they can get a lot of games in. By the way, we're going to go crazy. You take a look at some of the teams they have playing and where they have the games, our pet peeve, you know, like the Mets are playing Milwaukee. Milwaukee has a roof. The Mets don't. So, of course, on March 28th, they're playing the game in New York.
Makes perfect sense.
Of course it does. Our poll question, by the way, speaking of openers, what's your favorite this time of year opener? The first day of the NCAA tournament? A week from today, opening day of Major League Baseball season. 3 weeks today, it's the Masters on CBS. By the way, no Nance in the tournament. First time since the Reagan administration.
Wow.
I know when Nance started doing, he replaced Musburger in 91 in terms of doing the Final Four. You know, Nance did, you know, all those Final Fours in a row, from Duke beating UNLV in the semis and beating Kansas in the final in 91 through last year. He did every one of those Final Fours. But I'm guessing Nance did the tournament, had a regional, what have you. He started with CBS, I think, in 86. So this is the first NCAA tournament in 35 years without Jim Nance.
It won't feel like it's the first tournament without Jim Nance, though, because he will be in every commercial break throughout the tournament. In fact, David, I want you to find a commercial break this weekend that doesn't feature Jim Nance in a commercial.
There's even one that is centered around him. Usually the commercials are centered around Chuck or Spike. There's one that is literally about Jim Nance and how he needs to find a hobby now that he's not calling March Madness games.
Does it count if Nance voices the commercial?
Of course.
I'm just asking. I just wanted clarification.
In fact, if any commercial says hello, friends, and he's not on it, it still counts as Nance.
Because, like, Nance voices the Titleist commercials. He's not in them, but he voices them. So I just, not that we'll see a Titleist commercial in March Madness, but that's why I asked. If his voice or he appears, we count it. So is Nance for 2 weeks going to replace Peyton Manning?
Yes. That's a great analogy right there, David. That is a very good comparison. I like it a lot.
Nance for 2 weeks might be replacing Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce for most commercials.
The Athletic did a story. They asked the coaches their favorite band artist, and I forget the coach, but he said Taylor Swift. And he's like a double-digit seed, and the media was all like, oh, you're just trying to get the Swifties to root for you, aren't you?
Darn right.